like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Thankful for the sweet prayer. I ask each of you just to pray for me as I stand before you. Have your Bibles and would like to turn with me. I'd like to read to you today from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning right at the first verse of chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Reading also in the Gospel of Mark, beginning at verse 33, Mark 33. This same account given from the writer Mark, as he wrote by inspiration of God, just as Matthew wrote in Mark 9 and 33, it says, And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and the servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. And then in Luke, another account of the same occurrence given from the perspective of Luke. I love looking at all of the particular places in the Bible where we're given that account, especially in the Gospels, to get the sum or the full picture of what the Lord has in store for us on a particular occasion of what's written in one place. Certainly we can learn and glean a lot from seeing the other accounts given by the other writers. I don't know why the Lord saw fit to do it this way, other than it's the right way. And I don't even understand why it's necessarily the right way, but I know everything our Lord does is right. And every word that's written in the Bible is necessary. And I am persuaded that there needed to be a writer by the name of Matthew who penned down what I've read in your hearing, and also Mark who penned down what we've read in your hearing, and then also Luke's account. And all of this is given to us for our learning. It says in verse 46, Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me, for he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. We read these accounts and read all of them together. We see that when we read in Matthew, it seems like they just came to Jesus and asked the question, but that really wasn't the case when you read what is written in Luke. We see that Jesus knew already what was in their heart. Before he had They had come and asked the question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had known what was in their heart. Jesus knew it before they asked the question. Jesus, being who he was, Jesus was the Son of Man, the Son of David. One place he asked the Pharisees about, who is Christ? Whose son is he? What thinkest thou of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, oh, the Messiah. Whose son is he? And they answered, he's the Son of David. And of course he pointed out, then why did David call him Lord? If David called him Lord, how could he be his son? If David did call him Lord. And the answer to that is, yes, he was the son of David. That's well and good. But he was more than just the son of David, wasn't he? He was the son of David. But as the Messiah, he was also the Son of God. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He was verily God. And as God, he knew all things. He didn't come thinking, trying to learn, trying to find out something. He learned as man. He learned as he walked in this world as man in that way. I don't understand all about that, but I know the Bible says he grew and he learned and he trusted and he did many of those things and yet he did them differently than us, in that ours has been an imperfect learning at best. His was always with perfection, and yet as the Son of God, as God, he learned. He always knew there wasn't anything hid from him. He's the one who was with God in the beginning, who all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. We believe that he's the Son of David, absolutely, but we also believe that David called him Lord because he was his Lord. Isn't that right? David called him Lord because he was David's Lord. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And if you'd believed Abraham, you'd believe also in me, because Abraham testified of the coming Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that which was written in the Old Testament testified of that. Jesus had come at this time, and his disciples were walking with him. And yet, they walked with him, and they talked with him, and they seemed like they should have learned and known and grown and understood about his kingdom, and yet they had a lot of misunderstandings about the kingdom of heaven and what it was. They were waiting a time that was, they were thinking, was soon going to come, when the Gentiles that were ruling over them were going to be put back under subjection under them, and then they were going to take positions of authority, and I'm going to have my place, and I'm going to have my position, and I'm going to have my... Are they going to start paying attention to me? I'm going to be a somebody in this world. And even so much so, they began to question, which of us you think are going to be the greatest? Which of us are going to be the greatest? Now, somebody might say, wonder why they got into that. Wonder how they got into that. Wonder how that happened. And all we have to do is think about us and our old nature and how quick those kinds of things can happen to us, can't it? Lord's been good to us. The Lord has mightily blessed us. From the time we were born, his eyes were upon us and he kept us. Formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb. And has blessed us so richly and abundantly. Most of us, in the light of the way people have lived in this world down through the centuries, live in mansions. I mean, we go over to a faucet and turn on the water and get cold water coming out, and we're not satisfied with that. We got ice cubes right in the house. We can go, and some of us got ice makers making the ice. Some of us might not have that, but we got dishwashers. We got my wife said, yeah, I got a dishwasher. So I wish you'd wash a few dishes. But we've got all kinds of conveniences in this world. We've got blessings, things that were unheard of in ages past. America has been so blessed, it's become so blind because so many wonderful blessings that we have, and most of us, we complain about not what we have. We're not thankful so much about what we have, we usually complain about what we don't have, and especially when it comes down to what somebody else might have that we don't have. The spirit of man, that old fleshly nature, that brings about our problems and our troubles, is within all of us. It was in the disciples as well. We read over, might run out of fingers today. We read over in the writings of James and also Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read there, really it's going to be James. James chapter 4, and then we'll look at Peter if the Lord will bless us to look at that. But we're looking at James chapter 4. And there, here he says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Now he's talking to God's little children here. In other words, where are our problems and our troubles coming from? Where is that old nature in us that is not satisfied with what we have, or not satisfied with the position God's given us, or desiring to be the greatest, desiring to have some credit, desiring to be, you know, not satisfied with what God has given us, but wanting more and never, never satisfied? Where does that come from? He says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. In other words, the Lord has told us here that if we have anything, it's come from Him, and if we need anything, we can ask Him for it. And if it's something that hadn't worked out the way we thought it ought to work out, rather than getting upset about it and trouble about it, be thankful for what the Lord has given you. And if you need it, you feel like you need it, you ask Him. And if you need it, He'll give it to you. And if you don't get it, you didn't need it. Pretty simple, isn't it? Yet old nature just doesn't like that, do we? You know, I didn't like Dr. Brad's answer to me when he said OLD and AGE, but you know, it may be what I've got to deal with a little bit. I might have a few aches and a few pains. In this world, I know this, we'll have tribulation and we'll have trouble. We'll have problems and we'll have things to deal with. And I'll tell you what they do. They drive you to the very feet of your master, where you look to Him for what you stand in need of, and you realize everything I do that I have that's good and right has come from Him. It's not because of what I did. Not because of something I've gained. And then we become very, very satisfied with where He's put us, and not looking for some other place so that we can be satisfied. You know what happens when you do that? You never get satisfied. And you miss what a little child enjoys. And just simply trusting in their Savior. That's the lesson. We need to be trusting today. I need to be depending on the Lord. In this old troubled world, I need to lean on the Lord. I need to depend upon Him. I certainly don't want to be above my brethren. I thought about Brother Jamie yesterday, and as much as I enjoyed his preaching, and I thought how wonderful he was blessed, the old nature in me has said, well, I'll tell you, I wish I could have said that. I wish I could have said that. Wish I'd have come up with that. Now listen, I hope and pray, I hope it wasn't in me, but if I act like or think like for a moment, that potential of that is not in me, I'm missing something. Because the potential for that is in every single one of us. Sometimes people think, well, that's not me. I know other people like that. You might be there this morning. I'm talking to you if you are. Because I'm talking to me because I am. You may say, well, it's not. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get jealous. I'm not going to seek to be number one. I'm not going to seek to be better than anybody else. I'm not seeking that. That's not me. Listen, the Bible says it's in our members. And if we don't keep it under subjection, it will dominate and rule your life. And those who are most ruled by it don't even know it's got them. So what we need to do is remember what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I know I've got a battle to fight. I got to fight it. You've got to fight it. We all need to fight it. The good news is we've got the victory already in the Lord. There's peace to be found in the kingdom of heaven, which He's given us right here in this world, which is the kingdom of God coming not with observation, but it's what? It's righteousness and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you today, if you're sitting, I believe we're enjoying the kingdom that He's given us here in this world, a spiritual kingdom. And I believe when we sit together in heavenly places in Christ, He's led us to be able to do that. And we sit with Him. And as we have fellowship with one another, we have fellowship with Him. And we're able to have joy and righteousness and peace. And all of that has come to us by the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, there's no higher place to be than to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. And you do that in the same way as a little child. As a little child. I'm in James. Did I read it? I read part of it. Here he says, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? That's a good question. Do you think anything in the scriptures written in vain? I don't believe I could convince one of you here. Hope I couldn't. I believe you believe every verse that's here that it's written for a purpose. There's not an empty verse, not an empty word. Little brother Jamie preached yesterday about that. Laid out the word that and pointed out how important that little word that is in the Bible. And just the Lord blessed him. But he says here, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? In other words, we have a spirit that dwelleth in us that lusteth to envy. That's our nature. It's in us. It's a nature that's in us. And I love this next part though. Notice what he says. He didn't say, but it's all going to overwhelm you. It's going to take you. There's no hope for you. It is a fact that it lusteth to envy. But listen, but he does what? He giveth more grace. Oh, I need grace, don't you? Isn't it good to have a God who gives you more grace? You get that old jealousy rising up in you, you say, what am I going to do about it? I can't help it. That's the way I am. Listen, he gives more grace. He allows you, because of what he's done in you, to be able to be more than a conqueror over that, so that you can trust in him and ask him to remove that from you. And I'm telling you, if you ask, you seek him for that good thing, he, as a good father, will give you that which you stand in need of, and he'll remove that high-mindedness. He'll remove that which you're having trouble with. And it's not only that. Listen, sin comes in all kinds of shapes and forms, doesn't it? Aren't you thankful that when he delivered us, we're not delivered altogether yet from the presence of sin. One day we will be. And I think about heaven, one of the sweetest things I think about heaven is that the presence of sin will be removed and we won't have to face that anymore. Doesn't that sound good to you? When all is well, it is well with my soul. It's going to really be well with our soul in heaven. We haven't been removed completely from the presence of sin, but I'm telling you, the dominion of sin, the power of sin that had the rule and the reign over us, doesn't have to have that, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says we've been made more than conquerors through him that loved us. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, get this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that good news? How do we resist the devil? Next verse. Draw nigh to God. I'll tell you draw nigh to God, you know who's got to go? The devil. And you know how you... It's like snuggling up with God. It's like drawing close to him. It's like that little babe, that little child that he picked up. And listen, he didn't just set him in the midst. We read the account. He held him in his arms. Wasn't that a picture? Can you see Jesus now picking up that little child? And holding that, he didn't just set him up here on a stool and say, you sit there, boy. No, he took him in his arms. Jesus held him. Listen, every one of his children, he came and died for them. And he works in them. And he takes you in his arms. You're in his arms. You're in his everlasting arms. He's holding you. And he will never let go. You may pull away, but he'll not let go. His love led him from the courts of heaven to this world. His love led him to live a perfect life. His love took him to the cross. His love caused the pain and the agony to be poured out on him there at Calvary. He paid a sin debt we could not pay, and it was his love. All because you were his children, he loved in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And listen, in time he picks you up in his arms and he holds you. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You ever have any trouble with the devil? Does he bother you? I heard already this morning one little sister that got bothered by him. Somebody said, the one preacher one time says, the only thing I can say good about the devil is he's not lazy. It seems like he's bothering me all the time. I know one thing. He's running to and fro in this world, seeking whom he may devour. He can't take your eternal life. He can't rob you of that which Jesus purchased for you on Calvary's tree. but he can bring great heartache and trouble in your life. He's a deceiver. And if he can do anything to destroy your testimony, if he can do anything to cause you to lead your life down a road that it would be leave you bankrupt and broken and heartbroken and heartsick, he will do all that he can to do that. But greater is he that is in the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thanks be to God. And when we resist him, brethren, I say resist him. He says, when you resist him, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He's talking to God's little children. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. How happy does that sound? What is it talking about? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. It's talking about become aware of who you are and not be happy and content with the things of this world, but be understanding that it doesn't mean you just stay there. It means you understand, listen, without the Lord, there's no hope for me. I'm broken. Do you understand you can't make it on your own today? Do you understand you don't have enough sense to handle this old world? You don't have enough sense to raise your family. You don't have enough sense to be the kind of person on the job that you ought to be. I don't have, and listen, I'm not saying you just only, it's me. It's all of us. We all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are bankrupt without the Lord. Just might as well let loose. We look over here. I want to look over at one old fellow in the Old Testament that I think just points out this high-mindedness that comes upon God's people in the book of Daniel. There's a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar that was a great king of Babylon. And if there's any passage in the Bible that shows you what God does in opening a man's eyes to show him what he really is, that's being afflicted and mourn. It's in chapter 4. And you think of, as we read chapter 4, beginning right at verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, languages, that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. You know, it's amazing that the Lord uses many. He moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, and he used this old king to point out and teach us a lesson here about high-mindedness. And you see, that's really what had gotten into these disciples. They had become feeling really important, and then they got to debating who was the most important. Who's the most necessary? Who's doing the best? Who's the most beneficial? Who is the one that the Lord needs the most? Nebuchadnezzar got high-minded about the position he was in. It says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. Verse 28 of Daniel chapter 4. He says, at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I want to read that verse in your hearing again. It says, this king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? That's a boasting man. That's the spirit of man. I'm telling you, when you and I sit around and we look at all we have and say, boy, I really worked hard to get this. I really made great plans to do this. I've really done this and I've really done that. And I deserve this and I deserve that. We forget that everything we have, the clothes on our back, the house we live in, the cars we drive, the families the Lord has blessed us with, everything we have has come to us by the grace of Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar had been greatly blessed of the Lord, but here he thought in his own mind, look what all I've done. And the Lord's about to teach him a lesson. I'm telling you, it's important for us to humble ourselves before the Lord, because he can teach us a lesson as well. This lesson came. Daniel, and listen, a dream had come to Nebuchadnezzar. Listen, dream had come to Nebuchadnezzar. He had been shown that something was going to happen, and he troubled him. And he's called Daniel, and he said, Daniel, tell me about this. This dream that I've had, tell me and explain this to me. And Daniel warned him what was going to take place. Even had told him, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, unless you wake up and recognize the things that you have come to you by the grace of God, those things can be taken away. That's what he told Daniel. I mean, Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, instead of listening to those words, went out and started boasting. You know how society is just, we used to be boasting was something that people said you don't do. It used to be if someone was playing a sport and they started bragging and boasting, parents corrected them and said, you don't do that. That's not something you do. You'd see it on a sports figure who started boasting. He wouldn't be lifted up and elevated because of his boast. He'd be considered a braggart and someone that needed to be cut down to size. That was just the way of thinking, but not so today. Listen, we've got an upside down world thinking that that's okay. Just brag. And the next thing you know, it comes into us and we're doing it, you know. I don't necessarily boast in me, but I boast on my grandchildren. If you brag on your grandchildren, I know you do. Brag on those grandchildren. Remember, be careful. Be careful. Listen, I got a little grandson that can run like the wind. You get him a football in the air, he's going to try to catch that thing, and he's going to run with it. But I know this, it's God who gave him the legs to run with. It's God who gave him the hands and the ability to catch it. It's God who's done all of that. And I want him to know that every good thing he has in his life has come to him because of God's grace. I want him to understand that. In the minds of God's little children, if you've got the mind to know something or learn something, little ones, if you can learn something today, I want you to know it's God who gives you the intellect. It's God who gives you the strength and the ability. And don't dare get caught up into bragging like Nebuchadnezzar did. Those lessons need to be taught from the pulpit, but they also need to be taught in the homes and in the families of God's little children. Listen, the world might be going that way, but don't you go that way. And you remember to remind one another the things we have in our homes and in our families and in our lives that sometimes we say, well, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. The Lord might just give it to you to show you you didn't need it. I am so thankful that he showed us a Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. That means it's taken from you. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall that pass over thee until thou know that the Most High God, Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Brethren, let us wake up today and understand God's on his throne and we can look to him and he's worthy of our trust and he's worthy of our dependence and everything we've got to come from him. And may we be found at his feet, worshiping him and praising him and thanking him. And when he blesses us, may we give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And if we do that, we stay humble before Almighty God and we won't be asking silly questions like which of us is most important. Sometimes this doesn't affect me so much at church because you're reminded at church you don't act like that. But I get on the job and I start thinking, well, they don't think much of me around here, you know. I used to be important. But I don't walk quite as fast as I used to walk, and so they don't think as much of me anymore. I'll get to having a pity party. I'll get real miserable on the job and come home and make Sherry miserable. Call my kids, make them miserable. Maybe talk to a church member too, get them miserable. Don't help me a bit. What is that Brother Jamie said yesterday? The Lord said, get up and get going. I want you to know we've got a God who's worthy to be praised with all that we got in us. And give him the glory for what we have and what he's done for us. And we've never been all that. We never will be all that. I'm telling you, He's all that. We're not. And yet in Him, listen, in Him, you are what? A chosen generation. In Him, you are a royal priesthood. And in Him, you are a holy nation. In Him, you are a purchased or a peculiar people. In Him, you can do whatever He would have you to do. And without Him, you can't do a thing. And if we ever get to thinking we can make it without Him, we are in trouble. Whether we're young or whether we're old or wherever we are. We need to be right where that little child is. Trusting in Jesus. And we need to receive others who are there. Just like that. It says, listen to this. You know, you want it. Some people say, well, the Bible is born. Listen, you just read it a little bit. You'll find it's not born. You want to find some of the best stories in the world? You go to the Bible. That's the best literature in the world. This book is rich with wonderful stories. You know, somebody says, "Well, I want to see a story with some drama." Boy, I want you to know this. Listen to what happened to this king. He said, "They shall drive thee from men." This happened to him. "Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the fields." He started living. This king lost his mind. He went out in the fields living like an animal. "Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the fields. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen." Can you imagine that king out there eating grass just like an ox? He's lost his mind. And it says, "And seven times shall pass over thee." He stayed there. You know what that means? That means to a sufficient amount of time. A perfect number. That it was in God's time. In other words, this was God's judgment that came upon him. And he had a lesson to learn. And he stayed in that place until he learned that lesson. "Seven times shall pass over thee. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." Brethren, let's learn that today. The Most High rule. He's ruling today. Do y'all believe he's ruling? I believe he's ruling. He's on his throne. Nebuchadnezzar learned that he was ruling. He thought he was ruling, but then he learned, didn't he? Oh, isn't it better to learn from his word than to learn the way Nebuchadnezzar did? Because he that humbleth himself shall be what? Exalted. But the Bible also says he that exalted himself shall be abased. Didn't say humbled either. And that's brought low, just like Nebuchadnezzar was. It says, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven." That means he didn't live under any shelter. "And till his hairs were grown like eagles." Boy, what a sight he was. "Like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird claws." There's old Nebuchadnezzar, that one who thought he was all that. You know who else is like that? Every man, woman, boy, and girl who gets high-minded and lifted up. In time, they come falling down, don't they? The bigger the house they build, the bigger the fall. Man says, "I'm the best, I'm the greatest." And then he can't say anything. Man starts saying, "I'm everything, I'm all that." The next thing you know, he's removed completely out of the scene. And if we get that high-mindedness, and that's really what's going on with these disciples. Which one of us is the greatest? And they hadn't said it out loud. They just said it in their heart. Most of the time, you and I don't say it out loud, but sometimes we're thinking it, are we not, in our hearts. And brethren, that's when we need to learn this lesson. And yet Jesus didn't allow them. He loved them enough. He didn't allow them just to go on with that. He had them called out. He says, "What were you talking about?" Can you imagine what they felt like when Jesus called them out? It's like, "What were y'all talking about?" It's like sometimes I feel like when I was growing up, it felt like my mama could read my mind, because it would be like I'd be thinking something and I wouldn't say nothing about it, but then she'd bring it out and I'd go like, "Shoot, she must be reading my mind." I'm telling you, mamas sometimes can read minds. God always knows what's in the heart of everyone. Sometimes he'll tell mama. And mama will call you out. Listen, the Lord works through mamas. I'm telling you, I've had some mamas and grandmamas. I've had some in the church that have been great help to me. You, brethren, have been great help to me. And the Lord moves in mysterious ways in this world. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. He understands, he's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The scriptures in the one with whom we have to do. That's our high. Aren't you glad we got that kind of high priest? Listen, he knows everything that's wrong with us. And you might say, oh, I wish he didn't. Oh, you better be thankful he does, because if there had been one sin left that he did not know about, that he did not pay for, you would still be held, and I would still be held accountable for that. But he who died for us, being that high priest, took every sin we'd ever committed, which means he knows them. He knows them all. The wonderful thing is that he, knowing that, still loves an old sinner like me. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. His hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen, Nebuchadnezzar's telling us about it. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And he changed his tune, didn't he? I'm telling you, here he was at one point. Oh, look what I've built. Look what I've done. Look what great things I've done. After you've been out in the fields for a while, eating grass like an oxen with your hair growing like eagle's feathers, and your nails and your fingernails like, what does it say? Claws, like bird's claws. You changed that tune. He said, at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised, and I honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. You know what that means? That means he still is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. You know where we are? We're right there in that verse. That's where we'd be. Who? All the inhabitants of the earth. That's me. That's you. And it's silly for all those inhabitants that are reputed as nothing to sit there and go like, which one of us is the greatest? Which of the one of us is the most needful here? And I'm telling you, brethren, when we sit like that, we don't enjoy his kingdom. We don't enter into his kingdom. We don't enter into his fellowship. We miss it. We miss it. What did the Apostle Paul said? He felt to be the what? The chief of sinners. He felt to be the least of all the apostles. And what a great, was that meaning he was the least? Oh, I'll tell you, there was a mighty apostle in the Apostle Paul. Wrote so much of the New Testament. And how great the Lord used him. And I'm telling you, it wasn't any high-mindedness in him. He said, I am what I am by what? But by the grace of God. I'm telling you, that's where you see he humbled himself. And he was exalted and lifted to a place to be greatly used by the Lord. And he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth, and I love this verse, he doeth according to his will in the arm of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? This same man had just been out in the fields, eating grass like an oxen, with his hair like eagle's feathers, and with his nails like bird's claws. And yet when the Lord finished with him, brought him to his right mind through his grace and his mercy, best thing that ever happened to Nebuchadnezzar is to get in that place that he might be brought to the other place. Listen, thanks be to God if you've ever been humbled. I'm telling you, it's God who brings you down. It's God who takes that high-mindedness and brings you down and allows you to see what you are by nature. That you might have a sweet hope in what you are by grace. That he would die for an old sinner like me. And at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. But I believe there was a change in Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. You know, he had been talking about the spirit of the gods prior. The gods. Little G-O-D-S, by the way. There are no gods outside of the God of heaven. There is none other. Jesus isn't a way. He is the way. Jesus isn't. The Lord God Jehovah is one God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And there beside him, there is none other. And he said the spirit of the gods were in him. Listen, no. Nebuchadnezzar came to see. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. And all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk, get this, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. book of Proverbs tells us about six things the Lord hates. Yea, seven is an abomination unto him, and listed right in that number one is a proud look. A proud look. Brethren, oh, how we ought to think about what the Lord's done for us to keep us humble. It says, at the same time came disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Why did they come asking that? Because he had already perceived it in their heart. And he called them out, as we read in the other passage, and says, what is it you were talking about as you came along the way? And then they said, well, he knows, let's ask him. Who is he that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, I love this picture, Jesus called a little child unto him. You ever notice how little children don't care about the color of skin? They don't care whether a little child, especially a little bitty. Later on, they gain a little bit and they start picking at this and picking at that. But when they're a little bitty, they don't care whether you have 1 ear or 2 ears. They don't care if you know, they might ask you something if you don't look just right. They might say something, but they don't say it in a judgmental way. They're just little. Now listen, I'm not saying they're without sin. I'm just saying as they're little and they're young, there's an innocency about them. They're not seeing themselves. They're not trying to be the boss. They're just playing. They're just being with one another. They're like little children. Listen, as we gather in this church, we come as little children. And I don't care if we've been here 99 years or whether we just got here. We still are little children. And there is in us how much that we've brought. What is it we've done? I'll tell you, as the old brother said, I've done all the sinning and the Lord's done all the saving. That's where I'm at. And without his grace, there's no hope for me. And therefore, when we come, there's no pretense of being this person in this position and that person in that position. And these belong over there and these belong over here. And this one isn't quite up to snuff. And this one is, listen, outside of Jesus, none of us are anything. And with Jesus, every one of us are kings and priests unto God by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. So he takes this little child and he sets him in the midst of them. And says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. That means you need to have a change of thought. You need to have a change of mind. He wasn't talking about them getting regenerated. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking about those that are already born of the Spirit. He's talking about them learning. Today, I hope we have learned. I hope we have pointed out in ourselves some places that we need to say, Lord, please forgive me for that. Lord, help me to see that I need to think differently. I look around a lot of times and I'll see. Listen, I'll ride up down the road sometimes. I'll look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm not like that old sorry character. You ever been like that? You don't have to tell me about it. Glad I'm not like him. Glad I'm not like her. Oh, we ought to be thankful if the Lord's delivered us from those things. But I'm telling you, but for the grace of God, there go you and there goes me. And so when one of those comes with a broken heart, one of those comes pleading and a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of those comes as a little child accepts another little child, we're to accept them. We're to say, oh, listen, come, sinner. I know about that case. I know how it feels to be lost and undone and ruined in this world because that's where I was. And a Savior reached down and touched my heart. And oh, what a difference is made in my heart. And therefore, if you feel broken and there's like your life is wasted and ruined and there's no hope for you, let me tell you about that friend of sinners. Let me let you understand and know. Listen, I know you can't give this to them if the Lord hadn't done it, but I'm telling you, when the Lord's opened their heart, there's a great truth that you can share with one of God's little children to give them peace and rest and joy about their salvation. Sometimes we feel like, have you ever felt like you'd gone so far away you couldn't come back? You felt that? The Apostle Paul said, when I would do good, I find evil present with me. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Sound pretty low, didn't he? Who shall save me from the body of this death? In Romans 7, he said, he didn't leave it there, though, did he? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, that little child, he brought him right there and he said, you come become like that little child. That little child wasn't judging anybody else, wasn't wanting to be the... He just was a humble little child. And then the word says, and I know the time's gone, he says, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And this is really talking about how do we please the Lord here in this world. That means we become before we do what Mary did yesterday that we heard preached about. We sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. And I'll tell you, when you're at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, you'll be at the feet of your brethren. You won't want to be on top of them. You'll want to be just the least among them. You won't want a high place. Just give me a place. Let me be in the fellowship of God's children. I don't want to be boss. Listen, we've got one boss. We don't need another one. We got one head. And that's true in a home as well. Somebody said, I'm the head of my home. I'm telling you, I hope the Lord is the head of my home, and I hope I'm following and trying to follow him. And then as we line up in order our home with our eyes upon the Lord, we'll have peace in our home. If we have anything else other than that, you won't have peace, will you? You know why? Because I want my way, and Sharon wants her way, and our way goes like this. And I don't mean to be picky, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. But when our eyes get off us and our way and on the Lord and his way, well, we're in agreement. We're in one accord. You don't do that in high-mindedness. It has to be in humility. And listen, we're still a work in progress. We're still back. I'm telling you, just stick around us a while. You'll see, we're still a work in progress like everybody else. I've seen a few perfect homes. No, I'll leave that alone. It's time to stop. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and I love you. God bless you.